Unabashed joy. Unabashed isn't a word that we use every day. At least I don't. Maybe some of you use it on a more regular basis. And so I started to try to think, what does unabashed mean? I looked on the internet and I found a lot of good synonyms and definitions. It means to be not embarrassed, to not be ashamed. It means undisguised. That one made me think for a while. Undisguised joy. Unapologetic. Boldly certain of one's position. That's what it means, the word abashed, at least if you look on the internet. But I didn't think that necessarily captured, so I went looking for pictures that help us understand what unabashed meant. And so the first one up here, there we go. They are some unabashed Bills fans. But it's not only Bills fans that are unabashed. We have a Chiefs fan. And we have a Seattle Seahawks fan. But it's not only about rooting for your team. We can be unabashed about Jesus like this street preacher. Boldly confident, unapologetic, unashamed. Sometimes we can be unabashed about a cause, something we strongly believe in. This picture of women from World War I. Sometimes we can be unabashed about other current events that are important to us or to those that we love, like this pride parade. And sometimes being unabashed takes a more quiet form. Boldly unapologetic about your stance. Prophetic. Courageous. Picture many of you know from Tiananmen Square. All of those can help us get to what it means to be unabashed with our joy. But today isn't just being about unabashed about anything. It is about unabashed joy. Joy that isn't embarrassed or ashamed, or joy that isn't disguised or apologetic. I found a video of someone who I think maybe not quite as well as our candle of joy demonstrated unabashed joy, but demonstrates unabashed joy pretty well. Can you play the video, Doug? Goes on. But Tambourine Man is a pretty good expression of unabashed joy. Unapologetic, bold, courageous, not worried what anybody else is thinking or seeing. But then I came across another idea of unabashed. Unabashed joy can be seen as being out of place. As our Advent skit helped us understand that sometimes unabashed joy is prophetic. It's courageous because it doesn't fit with the context. It's joy that doesn't necessarily belong. It's like someone standing in the middle of a natural disaster and shouting out, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice." Unabashed joy can be a word out of place, if you will. A word or words, an attitude, a worldview, a position, an action. It can be anything that doesn't fit with what's going on, with the context, with the circumstances. Our text Both of them give us a word that's out of place today. A little bit of joy, of hope, of faith, of boldly believing in something that isn't necessarily visible. The passage from Isaiah. Some say that this little poem of joy, of hope, of looking forward to a day when things are so different than what they were experiencing in the midst of war and desolation and destruction, which was the poem immediately before this. Some people think it came much later and sometime was transposed back into the middle of the book. Some even think it was written as late as after the exile, after Israel had come home, because there's no way in the midst of exile, in the midst of desolation and destruction, could someone express what Isaiah was expressing. The poem comes too early, if you will. It's a word that seems out of place. Someone in a commentary asked who might have moved it. And there's some things even our best scholarship can't explain. Maybe it's more likely that the Spirit hovered over the text and over the scribes and said to them, put it here. Put it here before anyone's ready for a word of hope and joy and renewal and redemption. Put it here to interrupt this narrative of despair and desolation and destruction. Put it here. Put it here because it's a word that can't wait until it makes more sense. It can't wait till it fits in with the rest of the story, with the rest of the context. It's a word that needs to be sounded in the midst of desolation and destruction. It's a word of joy and of peace that can only come from the depths of someone's heart, from the depths of Isaiah's heart, because the Lord had put it there. Isaiah dares to speak a word out of place, a word that refused to wait until things improved. He was a prophet who couldn't wait to the hopeful part of Isaiah. Isaiah shifts gears in chapters 40 through 55, and he starts to sound much more of a hopeful note. This passage would have fit much better there than where we read it this morning. It truly seems, in the total scheme of Isaiah's prophetic utterances, to be out of place. And yet it's a word that many people are yearning to hear. As Walter Brueggemann has reminded us, Israel's doxologies are characteristically against the data. They don't make sense. We see and hear the data every night on the news and every morning on the front page of the paper. We add to that the data of our own lives, waiting for test results from the doctor. Mourning the death of a loved one, wondering if we'll make it through the next round of layoffs. We know the data all too well. And sometimes what we need, sometimes what the world needs, is a word that's out of place. Sojourner Truth, a brilliant and brave slave woman who could neither read or write, but was passionate about ending unjust slavery and about ending the second-class treatment of women. She was speaking one time at an anti-slavery rally in Ohio, and a man came up to her and said, "Old woman, do you think your talk about slavery does any good? Do you suppose people care what you say? Why, I don't care any more for your talk than I do the bite of a flea." Sojourner just looked at him and answered, "Perhaps not. But the Lord willing, I'll keep you scratching." Sometimes, as people of unabashed joy, it's our role to keep the world scratching, to keep sounding that word, a word out of place, a word that goes against all the data. Unabashed joy is often out of place. It's a word spoken that others might wonder if there might be something to this faith, something deeper, something more permanent, something that isn't affected by the circumstances around us. Sometimes the world needs to hear a word that knows joy, even when joy is hard to find. Joy that comes from what we know. Joy that is based in a night a long time ago when the angels appeared to some sheep herders and uttered what has become the song, "Joy to the World." Joy, unexpectedly, courageously, boldly, a word out of place. The New Testament passage, Mary's Magnificat. Magnificat just means to magnify. Mary's song that she burst forth into singing when she visited her cousin Elizabeth and when the child in her womb leaped at joy at the presence of the Christ child in Mary's womb. Elizabeth confirming the blessedness of what Mary was encountering, the depth and the truth of it. And yet, what an odd time to sing a word of joy. It's easy for us to look back and say what a wonderfully faithful person Mary was, but you can hear this story much different because her song of joy really does seem out of place. Put yourself in her position. Put those we know in her position. "My soul magnifies the Lord," she said. "My spirit rejoices." And I want to say, but woman, you're only 13. How can you be happy about this? How can you be happy about an unexpected pregnancy? "For he has looked with favor on his lowly servant," she sang out. Favor? Favor, I want to say, unmarried, pregnant, delusions that this child is directly from God. What are others going to say? They're going to make you an outcast. They're going to lock you up. How can you see yourself as being favored? "The Mighty One has done great things for me," she rejoiced. He's done great things for you. He's put you in a heck of a spot. He's put you in a difficult situation. He put you in a situation that may not end well for you. And yet Mary was able to utter words of unabashed joy, words that were vastly out of place with her circumstances. Unabashed joy, a word out of place, a word of joy, a word of praise, a bold word of confidence in God, a word that springs up from the depth of our soul. Sometimes it can be unspoken through our actions, through our deeds, through our thoughts. I think it's important to speak words of unabashed joy because sometimes if we don't remind ourselves, if we don't stay grounded, and maybe that's all Isaiah was doing, was reminding himself of what the potential with God was. Maybe that's what Mary was trying to do, was to cast aside all of the context, all of the problems and difficulties. Maybe she sang to lift herself up. A reporter once asked a man named A.J. Mustey, who was a Dutch-born American clergyman and a pacifist who protested against the Vietnam War. He was asked by a reporter one day, "Do you really think you are going to change the policies of this country by standing out here alone at night in front of the White House with a candle?" And Mustey looked at the reporter and replied softly, "Oh, I don't do this to change the country. I do this so the country doesn't change me." And sometimes that's the power of unabashed joy. God willing, it makes a difference in this world. God willing, it touches other people's lives. God willing, it helps other people see a reality between the death and destruction of this world. But sometimes it might just help us not be changed by the world around us and by the lives we live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.